welcome to the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. Nolan, Cole, and Rob, man, back with you on this Friday morning, a couple days later than when we usually record, but we're back with you talking about the Bison men's hockey team as the season winds down in Canada West. And Rob, we saw a pretty entertaining weekend of hockey last weekend at Wayne Fleming Arena. Of course, that's almost a week ago now since the Friday night game. But they win on Friday night against Calgary. A good hockey game, winning 4-3, extending their winning streak to four games at the time. And then a wild barn-burning affair on Saturday afternoon against the Dinos, and a game that the Bisons ultimately end up losing 7-6 in double overtime. And that was an entertaining game to call, for sure. You were play-by-play last week, and I was between the benches. But, Rob, what stands out in your mind from those two games from a Manitoba perspective?
Well, there's a lot of things to go over when you lose a 7-6 double overtime game. For goodness sake, I mean, I was nearly hoarse going, goal, goal, goal. And most of them came in the third period, really, for Manitoba. We've seen some crazy periods of hockey. But Manitoba gave us one for the ages there that night. The depth of the team really came out because there weren't... You didn't have one or two guys doing all the lifting by themselves. I mean, you look up and down the list of guys who scored over the course of the weekend. Yes, Shaq Morasty and Jordan DePapp scored. Yes, Brett Stoven had a great weekend, but you also had guys, Brett Brooks and Channing Brashani, get their first of the year. You got goals from the Bowles brothers. You got goals from all up and down your lineup. Warren Callis potted one. Liam Bilton potted one. And Bilton's was a beautiful goal. That drag move to the front of the net to tie the game at 6. Blake Heinrich gets his first CIS goal. So the depth we've been hearing about with this team all season long was on display, probably better than it's been all year for Manitoba, in the Saturday game especially. And just the, as always, I'm struck by the sheer animosity between Calgary and Manitoba, the big open ice hits, the battling in the trenches, penalties galore, and just the nastiness of a game like that. That's playoff hockey, essentially, because these two teams are playing, heading into the stretch for a playoff spot, they're playing do-or-die hockey. And if we do see them at Wayne Fleming, which we'll talk about that later, what the scenarios are pertaining to that. But if we do see them at Wayne Fleming in the playoffs, we're expecting more of the same.
Yes, we are. You referenced the Friday night penalties. It got a little ugly there toward the end of the game with Justin Ogier and Dylan Walchuk getting game misconducts. Of course, that all stemmed from the play in the corner, the cross-check on Brett Stoven that I didn't see, by the way, from my vantage point, but you had a clear look at it.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. And I got to say, I'm amazed Dylan Walchuk, who scored in both games for Calgary, by the way, had a great weekend offensively. I'm amazed he was eligible for the Saturday game, because we've seen five-minute penalties earn players a one-game suspension before. We saw it earlier this year when Rennie Hunter threw that big hit on Tristan Frey, which we both thought was a pretty clean check. But at 5-minute major, of course, automatically usually brings a certain extra penalty with it. Now, Walchuk, I would say his play was probably dirtier than Hunter's. It's certainly Hunter's. If you agree that it was a clean hit, then there's no question that Walchuk's was dirtier. But even if you don't, Walchuk's was a targeted play. Like, he came from across the ice with his stick raised halfway there. He knew exactly where and to who he was going to deliver that cross check. And thankfully, Brett Stoven was okay. But Walchuk probably should not have been eligible to play the Saturday game. And of course, he ends up scoring. Now, it's hard to pin a 7-6 loss in double overtime. It's such an exciting game. You don't want to reduce that to, well, if so-and-so hadn't played. But there is the fact that Walchuk did score a goal that ultimately started Calgary on a huge run there in the second period. And if he doesn't play, maybe we're talking about a different result on Saturday.
And by the way, Brett Stoven, I thought, had a great weekend of hockey. And of course, you can point to a number of forwards who did as well. Channing Brashani and Brett Brooks scoring their first goal of the year on Friday night. By the way, Brashani, if you recall, that was a pretty nifty move he made to score. And, you know, he's not a guy that's known for his offensive capabilities, but that was a beautiful goal for Brashani to score his first of the season.
No, and to watch that, you would never know it was his first of the season. No. And I would say the same of Brooks. I mean, that shot was near perfect from Brett Brooks. So where are these guys all the time if that's what they're capable of doing? If I'm Mike Sorrent, I'm saying, guys, we need that more. Like, yeah, it's great to have the top lines rolling, and they were. But if the bottom six can contribute the way they did this weekend, you're laughing.
Okay, you spoke with Mike Sorrent for a few minutes on Wednesday morning. We'll play that interview for you right now.
So you mentioned, you talked a little bit about it being a hard league to score in Canada West, and yet every now and then a game like Saturday comes up. Is that one of those games that you just have to kind of bin it and move on and not view any patterns there?
Well, we can take a lot of positive things out of Saturday, and although we didn't come out with the 2 points that we wanted, we still earned a valuable point in the playoff race here. But boy, we got nothing but positive to build on how we played in for the most part of that game. We had about a 12-minute span in the second period that Calgary pulled away from us, but you know, it was fantastic to see how our guys, how resilient our guys were going into the third period. Down 6-2, resilient, never quit, showed tremendous character, and just battled back. It was incredible. We outshot Calgary, and Calgary's a real good team, as we saw in the second period of the Saturday night game. They're a real good team. To outshoot them 21-2 in the third period, and that was just purely through will. Our guys worked so hard, competed so hard, they just were not going to be denied. And they were willing pucks into the net. It was great to see. In fact, it was probably one of the most impressive comebacks that I've been associated with.
It was a great comeback. It was great to call, let me tell you. I was nearly hoarse at the end of the game with all the goal calls. But it's starting to become a bit of a pattern with your team in the second half. You've been putting up goals like there's no tomorrow. Has something changed with the offensive scheme?
I wouldn't say. I think we're just trying to be more direct. I don't think that's a big change from what we've been trying to accomplish in the first half, but we're just trying to be more direct in our offense. And you know, once you start scoring, it just builds. The momentum comes, guys are confident, and just pucks start going in when you're playing well and playing hard, and everything's falling into place for us now. So I don't think it's a huge change in terms of how we're approaching our game plans, other than trying to get more pucks, more bodies, and more direct attack to the net.
You've talked at times this year about the depth of the team and about how now that you're healthy, you're starting to see it. Is that also contributing to the sudden surge in offensive power?
Well, yes. Now that we've had consistency and chemistry in our lines and our D pairs, the guys have the familiarity now playing with each other. So I think that does lead to a better performance offensively, as we're seeing in our goal production, and of course too defensively.
You've got a couple tough games coming up against Saskatchewan, conference leading team, and yet you've played them really close all season long. Has it become kind of a rivalry between you two teams despite a disparity in the standings?
Oh, the Bison Husky rivalry is a strong one, and it's been going on for years. They're always very competitive, tough games to play, and it's a tough rink to play in Saskatchewan. They got a very small ice surface, but I think our team is well suited to playing in that small ice surface. I think we're a team that we can play on a larger ice surface like we have here in the Wayne Fleming Arena and be successful, or do well on a smaller sheet of ice. So we're looking forward to a great weekend, and you know, we're going in with confidence. We know that we have a lot of respect for Saskatchewan, one of the top teams in the country. We played them very well before Christmas. In fact, we were able to beat them 5-2 one game, and the previous night lose in overtime. So we do have some confidence from how we performed against them prior to Christmas and just how we're playing now. But we know it's going to be a real tough game, and we have to be at our absolute best and, in fact, take our game to even a higher level than where we are right now to be successful. But that's what we're striving for. We haven't peaked yet. We're building. We're trying to peak for the playoffs, and so far we're going in the right direction.
And one last thing. You've been chasing Calgary for a while now. They're right there. They're in the gun sights. How much scoreboard watching are you going to be doing over the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know, we have to do what we need to do and focus on doing our job. And yes, there's an interest to watch the scoreboard, seeing what's happening around the league. We need Mount Royal and Regina to do us a favor and beat Calgary a few times. But we've got our own schedule that we got to do a job in with, you know, two tough teams, Saskatchewan and Alberta. So our primary focus is on our games and how we're performing.
Thanks very much for your time, Mike.
You're welcome.
That was Bison men's head coach Mike Surratt speaking on Wednesday. And Rob, before we get to some of the things he brought up, I do want to continue talking a little bit about the weekend series with Calgary. In particular, the comeback, because this was a team that was down in the Saturday game. It was 5-2 Calgary heading into the third period. It was a close game early on, and then it got away from the Bisons in the second period. I think they gave up four consecutive goals. They had a 2-1 lead heading into the second, and then it turned into a 5-2 deficit in a hurry. Then they have a power play to start the third period, and they give up a shorthanded goal. In fact, they gave up two shorthanded goals this past week, and it was ugly in that regard, but we'll get to that in a bit. It's 6-2, and they come back, and the floodgates open, and they end up tying the game at 6. And I think I said on air at the time that, you know, this team last year doesn't necessarily mount that comeback, but I think it shows how far they've come as a group to be able to come back and to earn a point in that game.
Yeah, and I think you're right that last year's team would have folded at that point. And this year's team, there's a couple things that stick out. One is the resilience, and Mike touches on that, and he'll talk about it all the time when talking about that crazy game against Calgary. They never allowed themselves to feel down and out. And there was a palpable sense of it in the press box, because when they got down 6-2, there was a moment where everybody kind of went, oh, well, this is it. But then it becomes 6-3 when Brad, or maybe Sean Bowles on the doorstep, scoring that goal. And then 6-4 happens when Jordan DePap cashes a Warren Callis rebound. And all of a sudden, I think the mood in that press box was, we're coming back. Like at 6-4, nobody thought, well, Calgary's going to score to make it 7-4, and that'll be the last nail in the coffin. I think everybody in that box, myself included, thought, at 6-4, we're coming back. And there is just a different vibe around this team right now, not only than there has been in previous years, but than there was in the first half. Because even this team in the first half probably would have folded, I would have said. Yeah. In the first half, they would have gone down like a house of cards. But this team, four lines deep, lots of resiliency, and it was four different goal scorers. You got Bowles, Heinrich, Bilton, and DePap from all different parts of the depth chart, let's say, getting you back to evens.
The team in the first half that we saw reminded me very much of last year's team. They just looked like they hadn't turned the corner yet, and the second half has been different because they went on the four-game winning streak to start, and obviously taking 3 of 4 points from Calgary is a pretty successful weekend too. So it really looks as though they have turned the corner and they're ready to take that next step as a team. But Rob, one reason they have been playing so well lately has been Byron Spriggs in net. And he had a rough game Saturday afternoon, because if Byron Spriggs plays the way Byron Spriggs has throughout the second half, they probably win that game.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think there's any question of that. I mean, now maybe they don't have the same urgency and they don't win 6-2, but they probably do win. If Byron Spriggs' Saturday outing notwithstanding, he's been tremendous in the second half. And it's okay. It's worth remembering that these, while they are university players, they are still young. And as a younger goaltender, you know, Spriggs will have his up and downs. He'll have his moments where things all seem to go his way, and he'll have other moments where things could not go more wrong. And Friday, things went his way. Saturday, back down to earth it was. But overall, he's been far more high than low for most of the season, but especially in the second half. So if you're Mike, you don't really have a ton of incentive to pull him out ahead of Saskatchewan, especially since Justin Pollock is cold. He hasn't played in a while.
Yeah, and it was Kane Franzen who scored the overtime winner, and that one he wants back because that one just kind of snuck under his arm.
Yeah, this weird little backhand chip shot that I think one of the defensemen could have saved. Yeah. I mean, it was moving pretty slow, and I think it was a bit of a changeup. Might have fooled Byron on that one. And yeah, he would like that back. He probably would also like the Dylan Walchuk shot from the start of the second period that beat him high over the shoulder back, because that was not the hardest shot Walchuk's ever taken. It was accurate, but it wasn't particularly forceful.
Yeah. And I said this on the air at the time too. So the game goes into overtime and they don't clean the ice. So you do, for those who are unfamiliar with Canada West format, it's a little different. I actually like it. It's 5 minutes of 4-on-4, and then if no one scores, they go to 5 minutes of 3-on-3. And so the linesman had a chat with, who was it with? I guess it was just the linesman. Oh, it was with the Zamboni driver He was around me all afternoon. And I didn't hear the conversation because I had my headset on, obviously. But they obviously came to the conclusion that the ice did not need to be cleaned. But Rob, I think you said it best. It was reminiscent of an outdoor rink by the end of that 3-on-3 overtime, 10 minutes of overtime after a third period, and the ice not being cleaned. And that played a direct result because Brett Stoven had a breakaway and the puck jumped on him at the last second. There was a ton of snow out there. Really, to me, inexcusable how they couldn't clean the ice before the overtime started. I mean, is there time constraints with, you know, a beer league game starting after? I don't know, but all I know is that's an important game in the standings, and they need to clean the ice there.
Yeah, and think about it. If you're Manitoba, that disadvantage directly affects you, because where was all the play in that third period? It's in the Calgary end.
Yeah.
And if you're spending the entirety almost of a third period, I mean, you look at the shots, it was like 21-3 in that third period. It was ridiculous. If you look at where the play is in that third period, and then you go back to Stoven's breakaway and you realize there's a mountain of snow between him and the goal line. Yeah, it is like an outdoor rink. It's all chewed up and covered in slush. That's even a dry scrape would have been better than what happened. I think I don't know what the official rule is on that. You know, I know in the NHL they have the dry scrape and they do a quick lap down the middle for the shootout, but I don't know what the ruling is in Canada West. But either way, that was one where you could tell the ice was not favorable to Manitoba on that one. Now, having said that, you can't blame the loss solely on the ice. I mean, Kane Franzen's winning goal, as you said, was not the prettiest, and Manitoba did miss a couple of chances, but ultimately, you clean the ice, I think it makes for a better on-ice product.
Yeah, so absolutely. So just to summarize the past weekend, successful, they take 3 out of 4 points from the Dinos. Now, if they wanted a realistic chance to get into that fourth playoff spot, they probably needed to take the clean 4 points. That didn't end up happening. So let's just take a look at the standings now. Saskatchewan Huskies, the Bison's opponent starting tonight. We'll talk about that in a bit. 18-4-2, 38 points. They're in first. Alberta behind them, 16-7-1. 33 points. Mount Royal is in third, 15-8-2, 32 points. And Calgary, with that win, clinches a playoff spot. They're at 15-9-1 for 31 points. So those top four teams have clinched a playoff spot. The Bisons technically have not clinched yet, but they are on the verge of doing that. Manitoba's at 12-10-2 in fifth. Then you have Lethbridge, 10-11-3. UBC 8-13-3, so the Pronghorns are 4 points up on UBC for that last playoff spot, and then the Regina Cougars 3-19-2, they're in last. I believe they've been eliminated from playoff contention. So Rob, the Bisons 5 points back of Calgary for fourth, 3 points up on Lethbridge for.
Are they really five back? I thought it was only three.
According to the standings here, it says five.
Well, that's odd because Calgary should have, because we were 4 points back of Calgary coming into last weekend.
Should be three.
Yeah, it should be three.
I believe that's incorrect. Well, 12 wins, 24 points, 26, 30. The math is right on here, but unless Calgary doesn't have 15 wins.
Oh, you know what? Might Calgary have played last night?
They beat Mount Royal 5-4 last night. Remember, Mount Royal, Calgary being so close together, they did a home and home, and they played last night, and then they play the second game tonight. Okay,
now the pressure is all on Manitoba. I mean,
well, that was my next question, Rob. Is it realistic to gun for that fourth playoff spot because they're 5 points back heading into Saskatchewan this weekend?
Well, you have to try either way, but Vegas odds makers, I don't think, will give you a ton of stats or betting options on Canada West hockey, but if they did, the Bisons would be the under. You're not betting on them statistically to make the playoffs at this point. They are 5 points back with only four games remaining, and those four games are against 1-2 in the conference. And Calgary's got the luxury of, we'll just say it, they've got the luxury of a free weekend against Regina. You're going to get at least 2 points out of that weekend, which means they've got 2 points already against Mount Royal. They've got 2 points at least coming up, which means Manitoba would need essentially to run the table against Saskatchewan and Alberta, the likelihood of which, it would be incredible if it happened. Yeah. I mean, that Manitoba would go into the playoffs as the hottest team in the country. But, and if any Manitoba team that I've ever called games for could do it, it's this one. But that's a difficult proposition with Saskatchewan being nationally lauded and Alberta being just as loaded as they are.
And so, you know, you finish fifth, you go to Calgary, in all likelihood, although the Dinos could jump ahead of Mount Royal with another win tonight. So then you're looking at a matchup with Mount Royal. You probably don't want to fall into sixth. Lethbridge has a tough weekend as well. They're in Alberta, so they're gonna be hard pressed to pick up any points out of that series. But it looks as though the Bisons will play either Mount Royal or Calgary or Alberta. Alberta's only 1 point up on Mount Royal. It's tight from second to fourth, so any one of those teams, conceivably, the Bisons could match up against, depending on what happens the last 2 weekends.
Now, how far back of Mount Royal are we at this point?
Yeah, Manitoba is 7 points back. Sorry, 6 points back of Mount Royal, 7 back of Alberta.
Okay, so at this point, if you're Manitoba, you're kind of torn, because if Calgary sweeps Mount Royal, which with a win tonight they would do, you're now chasing Mount Royal. Which, I mean, either proposition is difficult, but the fact is, you know, Calgary's last opponent is Regina. That's going to be points for them. Who's Mount Royal's last opponent?
Yeah, so Mount Royal plays UBC at home.
So that's a little bit of a different animal, because UBC has been
desperate.
Yeah, and they've been playing great hockey in the second half. So it might well be that Mount Royal falls behind Calgary and ultimately becomes the team Manitoba's chasing. Either way, you're chasing, and that's not an ideal spot to be in. That's not a spot I think they thought they would be in, but here we are.
Yeah. Okay, so Mount Royal and Calgary will play again tonight. The Dinos winning last night in double overtime, 3-on-3 overtime. They win that game. Manitoba's at Saskatchewan, as we mentioned. Lethbridge at Alberta and Regina at UBC. So, boy, this is a big weekend for UBC to try to gain ground on the Pronghorns. If you sweep Regina and Lethbridge loses to Alberta, you're right back tied with them.
Yeah, and UBC had a great opportunity to really drive a dagger into the Pronghorns last weekend, but Lethbridge showed a kind of fight that they hadn't really shown all second half and beat UBC both games. And the last time we saw the Pronghorns, the last time we one was 8-7. Covered them. Yeah, and Mike was talking about it being a difficult league to score, and this weekend went out of its way to prove him wrong. There was a 10-2 game between Saskatchewan and Regina. There was the 7-6 game here in Winnipeg. There was the 8-7 game between those two teams. Crazy weekend in Canada West. And they don't have the NHL's excuse of the schedule being tight and everybody being worn out. But UBC had that chance to get caught up with Lethbridge, and then Lethbridge just kind of drove a dagger into them on that one, because they really came out flying. And like I said, the last time we saw Lethbridge, they looked like a pretty downtrodden team with that 9-3 loss to Manitoba. And they finally picked it back up. Fortunes changed quickly in Canada West.
Last weekend, so Alberta is at Manitoba. Calgary is at Regina, as you mentioned, Rob. UBC at Mount Royal. And then Saskatchewan is at Lethbridge. So that's how the regular season will end. So a ton still up in the air, really. Nothing settled in the conference right now. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Bisons looking like they're going to play Calgary, Mount Royal, or Alberta on the road. We think it's just looking at the standings, it is possible, but in all likelihood, they will be traveling for that first-round playoff series.
Yeah, and chances are, if they win that first-round playoff series, because they will be the lowest seed, chances are to win, because I don't see Lethbridge beating either of Mount Royal or Alberta, depending on who finishes there. They would then go onto the road to play Saskatchewan, because Saskatchewan, the way they're set up, they keep playing the way they have been, and they're going to have home ice advantage all through the playoffs. All the way in their minds, I'm sure they'll have it all the way to the East Coast for the national championship. They went there last year, and all signs indicate they could again this year. That is a deep team up front and on the back end. And it's worth noting that, and we've talked about this before, their leading scorer is a defenseman. Their leading scorer, who is third overall, I think, in the entire conference, Jesse Forsberg. And he was a guy in the Western Hockey League who was, he could score, but he wasn't a big-time scorer. He was more likely to put you through the end wall. Big body checker, tons of pims, tons of fights.
Yeah.
And he's walking proof that players don't always peak in their junior years. He's having a better offensive outburst now than he ever did while he was in the Western Hockey League. And I think if I'm a professional team, and make no mistake, professional teams do watch Canada West. The Carolina Hurricanes are evidence of that. I'm looking at Jesse Forsberg when his career is ultimately over.
Okay, so let's talk about Saskatchewan. That's the Bison's opponent this weekend, starting tonight and tomorrow afternoon. They played them, Rob, they've played them tight over the years. We saw them in November, the Huskies winning 2-1 in overtime Friday night, and then Saturday the Bison's winning 5-2. So we talk about how good Saskatchewan is and how tough it's going to be this weekend. Well, the Bison's historically have played them well, and Manitoba still playing their best hockey of the season, in pretty good shape heading into Saskatchewan this weekend.
Yeah, and Mike touched on it a bit, saying that the Manitoba-Saskatchewan rivalry is enduring almost regardless of who is where in the standings. It seems to transcend the standings. It's one of those rivalries that it doesn't matter where the two teams are. They're going to come out hard at each other and play a tight game usually. And Manitoba did very well against Saskatchewan, the games we saw here at Wayne Fleming. So if you're Manitoba, that's a hopeful sign, because A, it's good anytime you're playing a team that good, that close, and B, they're your next opponent and you're fighting for a playoff spot. You take 3 or 4 from them again, and suddenly you might find yourself, if Calgary splits with Mount Royal, only 2 points back of Calgary going into the final weekend, which paints a very interesting scenario for these final games against Alberta, because Alberta's been amazing at times and defensively defunct at others. They're a young team, which is unusual for Alberta. They've been a little inconsistent this year.
Just going down their lineup, Rob, Jesse Forsberg, who you just touched on, Logan McVeigh, Michael Sofilis, Cole Baumel, Andrew Johnson, Levi Cable, Parker Thomas, the former Selkirk Steeler, who I thought had a really strong weekend here in November.
100 points with the Steelers is last year there.
Yeah, they have their forward depth is probably unmatched in Canada West.
Yeah, I would...
Maybe Alberta?
Maybe Alberta, but even if Alberta matches them up front, they don't match them on the back end. I don't think anybody does. That's just a deep team at all positions. No fun to play against. I mean, we saw it. They're physical. They're fast. They play up tempo. They have to. They've got so much speed. How could they play anyway else? And they do have, and this is one area when we talk to the Bison players, what they'll tell us is Alberta's loaded up front and they've got good, strong defense, goaltending's been a bit of a weak spot for them. Not so for the Huskies. Jordan Cook's the best goaltender maybe in the country.
17-3-1, 1.84 goals against average, 931 save percentage. I've always maintained that he is the best in the conference. He's a fun guy to watch. In fact, we only saw him one game in November. Was it Waupel who started the Friday night and then Cook the Saturday?
Yeah, and that was a reversal of what I thought would happen. Waupel surrendered just the one, albeit on his first shot. And Cook was... I guess Manitoba caught Saskatchewan flat-footed that day, and Cook included, because he didn't have a terrific game, I didn't think.
By the way, you're listening to the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. It's available on our website and on iTunes at Bison Men's Hockey, Facebook at Bison Men's Hockey, and Twitter at Bison Men's Hockey as well. Only two more games to call. We're going to be on TV for those on Shaw TV when the Alberta Golden Bears come to town next weekend. We won't be on UMFM for those games. However, we are looking into streaming the audio on Red River Radio, so we'll keep you updated on that. But that's going to be a fun weekend of hockey against the Golden Bears for us and for the players.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, Alberta, anytime they come to town, it's fun because you're matching up against the best. Players love to do that. And it's also, hey, I get to break out the suit. How many times have I gotten to do that this year?
We don't get to do that on radio.
I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't object, but all the stuff we've got to do prior to the game, I'm, I've almost never thought to myself, oh, darn, I've got to make 10 minutes to pull up the suit. But yeah, when we're on camera, that all changes. The suit comes out.
Rob, I want to ask you, you just produced a TV story on Captain Jordan DePapp and his battle with diabetes and kind of, you know, a little insight into his life off the ice as well. Just tell us a little bit about that. We're going to try to get it up on our Facebook page and our website over the course of the weekend. But how did that go?
It went well. I mean, Jordan's used to speaking to the media. This was, as I put it during the interview, not his first rodeo. And he's a very willing to talk guy. He's not shy about the fact that he's diabetic. He's not hiding from it at all, and far from it. He's used his position as an elite hockey player to make it possible for kids fighting the same condition to be elite hockey players themselves, to believe that they can accomplish what he has. And now he's gotten a lot of support, and obviously with Max Domi in the NHL, there's multiple role models out there. But Jordan was great. We talked to him a little bit about that, a little bit about the fact that this is it's going to be a bittersweet weekend for him against Alberta, because it is going to be his last year with the team. And boy, is that going to be a hole for Mike Sarant to fill. I mean, he's been so good for Manitoba over these last few years, such an elite player. And talking to him about pro options, because make no mistake, he has pro options.
Yeah.
We've seen this year Levko Koper going pro, former Alberta Golden Bear with the Charlotte Checkers, the AHL. And DePapp was saying that while right now his focus is get this Bison team to the playoffs, maybe in a home spot, although as we touched on, the likelihood of that drops every time Calgary wins. He said his focus is on the team right now. Obviously, he wants to win a championship before he moves on, but there have been teams that have contacted him. So he's got hockey options once his CIS career is done, and it's always nice to see guys keep up with the sport after they're done at the Canada West level.
By the way, we should try to get Jordan in studio for maybe one of our last podcast episodes of the year, because I'm sure it'd be a great interview. As you said, bittersweet interview with DePapp ultimately moving on from the Manitoba Bisons program after several good years in black. And black and gold. I always say black and gold. Black and yellow, black and gold.
I would say brown and gold. Brown and anything sounds terrible.
They've been wearing those black jerseys at home.
Oh, the LA Kings ones, yeah.
The ones we saw last weekend, they wore them, I think, the previous. They've been wearing those a lot at home.
Well, there seems to be some luck in them because they keep winning.
I like the white ones, for the record. But anyways, Rob, just a final thought here, as we're just about out of time for this week. What do the Bisons have to do to win in Saskatchewan? You know, for them, is it realistic to just, okay, let's take one of these games? I don't think you go in there saying, okay, let's sweep these guys.
They have to go in saying that. But from our they will go in saying that. From our perspective, I think from the view from 1,000 feet, so to speak, I think we know that it's more realistic to expect them to split than it is to expect them to sweep. But if you're Manitoba, Saskatchewan's going to roll four lines and three D pairings. You had better be able to do the same. So you've got to dress, and the fact that they're healthy is great. Nick Zajac's going to be back in the lineup. That's going to provide them with a good boost.
Right.
You've got to absolutely, if ever, there have been times this year where Mike Sarant has toyed with his lineup a little bit and maybe not at times iced the best lineup possible just because he's got a certain frame in mind. He's got a certain style of play in mind. This, if ever, is the weekend to dress the best lineup on paper you possibly can and roll four lines, because you know Saskatchewan is capable of doing the same. You try to roll three lines against them, they'll run you over. So four lines deep, and everybody's got to have a terrific weekend. I mean, some of these guys are going to have to play the weekend of their lives, But it's doable. We've seen it at Wayne Fleming Arena. We've seen that they can hang with Saskatchewan when they play their best, and they will have to be at their best over these next four games, not just these next two.
And even with his struggles on Saturday afternoon, I don't think there's any doubt we see Byron Spriggs in the net for both games.
No, at this point, Justin Pollock hasn't played since the game against Regina. That didn't go very well for him, unfortunately. Yeah. He did get the win, but not a smooth ride by any means. And I think Spriggs has been the superior goalie in the second half, and Pollock is just a little bit too cold.
I agree. But, you know, going into that last weekend, there's a chance those games against Alberta won't mean much in terms of the standings. If that's the case, I'm sure they'll want to get Pollock some action before the playoffs.
And they may even want to get Deysen Sedorah in there. If the
we
games,
saw that last year.
Yeah, we did see that. I mean, if the games do turn out to be, like if the standings are locked at that point, because bear in mind, Manitoba could still get caught by Lethbridge if Lethbridge has a terrific weekend. So it's unlikely that those games against Alberta will be truly meaningless, but if the standings are locked, then yeah, you might see some guys that you otherwise wouldn't. Suggest to me as well that guys like Cameron Naughton, Jesse Parody might get back in the lineup.
So the Bisons busing out to Saskatoon. They fly to some of their away games, but obviously Saskatoon not that far of a trip. They're out west right now preparing for those two games against the Huskies. That was episode 12 of the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. As mentioned, we'll be back next week with another episode, but we'll be back on the air next weekend when Alberta comes to town. And as we mentioned, we're looking to get those two games on Red River Radio. That was the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. For Rob Mann, I'm Nolan Cole. Thanks for listening, everybody.